Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. This is 30 Minutes Thursday Dynasty Trades. Scott Connor, guest of the podcast, friend of the podcast, contributor to the Analytics of Dynasty, is here with us, and we're just going to jump right in. We're going to talk a theme of some rookies here, and we'll sprinkle in a couple of other guys. Trevor Lawrence, just right off the bat. Trevor Lawrence and Chris Carson for Mahomes and Madison.
Mahomes side, easy.
Yeah.
Close.
Here's one. Lawrence and a 2022 set first for Stafford and DJ Shark.
Lawrence in the first, easy.
So isn't this crazy though? Like, isn't this like, I look at these and I'm like, wow, like look how much his price has fallen on some of these. And it just becomes a really weird, it just becomes very like, has he been a disappointment or has he been like at expectation? Like, what's your assessment of him through week 7 of the NFL season?
Well, if you eliminate everything except for the first couple weeks, he actually hasn't been that bad over the last month or so fantasy wise. And I think the situation probably is about as bad as you could have envisioned that it was going to be. But I think that's one where Stafford's gone, I think, higher just because we're in the season. You know, he's a top 10 quarterback. So I think he's been, if anything, he's gone up in value. He was not seen as even with a lot of these other guys coming into the year. But now he's much closer to that kind of second tier than he probably was during the offseason. But I think this is more of just, I mean, DJ Shark, as soon as he got hurt, I mean, that's a rule of thumb for me. Mm-hmm. Receiver gets hurt and they're not a top 12 receiver, I'm just out. I'll cash out for any other wide receiver 3 or better. Just there's no reason to hold, you know, a wide receiver 3 that's injured for the rest of the year. So I think that's a huge, I mean, that's a huge win just to get a first for Chark. So, I mean, to me, the quarterbacks are pretty neutral here.
So you're at the point where you think Lawrence and Stafford are actually neutral then. Do you think that's a fair one for one?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, would you take the Stafford side?
No, I'd take the pick. I mean, if you took interesting, if you put the pick on the other side, I think that makes it even closer. I think.
Sorry, I meant Lawrence versus Stafford. If just the two of them straight up.
No, Lawrence.
You're taking Lawrence?
I got to go with the market. Yeah. Well, it's Lawrence.
What's the purpose of going with the market in this case? Like, what's your end game on that?
I mean, in a vacuum, exactly what you just said. I mean, it's the market. I don't think I really personally don't think there's a big difference between the two rest of the way in terms of if you're just looking at the win rate between where they stack in your quarterback tiers for the rest of the year. I mean, I guess if you said Lawrence is my best quarterback and I was looking for an upgrade, but I mean, let me ask you this, if you have Trevor Lawrence and you're looking for an upgrade, is a straight up deal for Stafford what you're targeting?
No,
aren't you trying to get to Dak or Herbert or something like that instead?
I totally would. But I guess the point is the fact that we're having this conversation in October is a massive loss for where Lawrence was as a first round startup pick 2 months ago. But like, this is the cautionary tale, isn't it? Like, where we're having a conversation about Matthew Stafford, who was a third or fourth round startup pick and was in well into the teens, and comparing it to a guy who was the most expensive rookie ever. Isn't this one we should have seen coming? And like, we should have seen it from both ways. Like, again, I was sort of on the step. I've always thought Stafford was undervalued. I've realized that there's reasons to think I was wrong on that, but there's plenty of reasons to think he'd go up in value. I don't think the market really moved that much considering the fact that he went from Detroit to Sean McVay's offense. And we came in putting Lawrence ahead of Russell Wilson. It always seemed to me that the Trevor Lawrence valuation was a calamity when it was happening. And it just seems like this is the natural consequence of that action.
But it's already happened now. So why cash out at essentially the closest point that I think they're going to be to each other over the next 10 months? Because that's the thing. You get to January and it goes the opposite way again. And you brought up another name, Russell Wilson. I mean, you know, right now, are you taking Russell Wilson over Trevor Lawrence? Right this second, and you're in the midst of trying to contend and you don't know what Lawrence's situation is going to be Wilson's situation is going to be the rest of the year. I mean, I guess I just look at it as, yes, I agree with you. Lawrence was overvalued. Stafford was undervalued, but now they've kind of met to a point where they're close. So why cash out and swap at this point?
I think that part's fair. I think, I mean, I would smash the Wilson side. Like I would smash the Wilson side over Lawrence at this point, but, and we have one right now. I think it's interesting because this one, Lawrence and it's interesting because in some of these, you don't even need to do it. Lawrence and Clyde Edwards-Helaire for Russell Wilson and George Kittle.
I mean, that to me, that's if you're thinking Lawrence and Wilson are pretty close, which I don't disagree with you there, but I'd still take the positional advantage with Kittle. I mean, I think at this point, you have an injured running back that who knows where. If anything, you know, I'm big about the market. I always say the market. The market's out on CEH. He needs to really, really earn a lot of trust back. So, yeah, give me the shot on Kittle there for sure.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, this seems like even if you just set aside the quarterbacks for a second, just like, hey, we'll look at that. We'll have that debate in a second. Clyde Edwards-Helaire for George Kittle. Like, you have to be damn sure that it's Lawrence over Wilson by a substantial margin for it not to be the Kittle side. And I just, you know, I would take Wilson over Lawrence straight up. So it's that one's almost easy. It's interesting. Would you do Russell Wilson for Russell Wilson for Lawrence, just the two of them straight up?
Man, that's a tough one because I think I've been very, very, very turned off with the Seattle offense this year. I mean, it's slow. It's basically they're being exposed for what they've been the last couple of years, and you've seen it without Lawrence. I mean, without Wilson. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has ruined the entire offense by not being there. I mean, in terms of the cascade effect, that's probably one of the bigger losses at quarterback that you can have, I think. I mean, he's neutered Tyler Lockett. He's neutered DK Metcalf. And, you know, they're heading for a divorce, I think, in Seattle. So I think the part of what you're getting with Russell Wilson is, hey, he's going to come back. They still have something to play for. The efficiency is going to come back. But then you're also kind of hoping for a change in situation. And if that happens, then yes, I would agree that Wilson probably is right back up there, if not ahead of Lawrence, by the time we get to the offseason.
You think Wilson's out of Seattle in the offseason?
I think it's either him or Pete Carroll. I just don't see how they can run this back as it is right now. I mean, and if they do, I think that's the bigger question. If they do, for some reason, try to mend fences and go for another year. I know you love Wilson, Jordan, but I'm out. It is one of the – I think that there's three offenses right now in the NFL that are absolutely just death for – fantasy players, and you wouldn't expect one of them to be the Seahawks, but it is. I mean, they're running like 52 plays a game. You know, it's like their goal is to get into these games where they don't have to run a lot of plays and rely on efficiency, yet then they go up against a team they should beat and their goal is to kind of slow it down and just run the ball on them. I mean, there isn't a place where I'm really excited about that offense, even pre-Wilson injury. So that's tough.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite of what you should do when you have an advantage, right? Like, you don't want, if you have an advantage, you want to speed it up.
Or embrace what some of these other hyper efficient offenses have embraced by trying to dial in your efficiency, but then expand it out. I mean, look at Minnesota over the last year and a half. They've slowly, and part of that is their defense, but the funny thing is Seattle's defense hasn't been good in years.
Right.
And so, but they continue to go, well, we're going to try to hide our defense. We're going to try to shorten the game. We're going to rely on efficiency. If you have something that's really efficient, isn't it logical to want to actually hit that button more times than less? Because it's so much quality. You know what I mean? And that's not what they do. So it's just very frustrating to me. So he's a very triggering quarterback for me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. What do you think about, let me ask you this one. Lawrence for Derek Carr and a 2022 first. Just assume it's random.
Yeah, I think I'd still take Lawrence. And I like Carr. I think Carr, Cousins, Tannehill, those three guys fit in this kind of golden range where if I can get them at any sort of a market discount because people don't believe in their future or don't believe, you know, they're going to get a job after their next gig or after this gig is up, I think those three guys definitely stand out as, you know, the numbers say they should be viable starting quarterbacks until they're not. So any discount you can get on any of them, you know, market pivots like this, I'm in for it. But I think that the other thing is here, and we haven't talked really 2022, but I think we're facing a pretty dead class next year in 2022, personally. So yeah. I think I still take Lawrence. Even if it's a mid first, we're talking maybe that's going to be you know, because this 2022 quarterback class is eroded a little bit, at least thus far. So, I mean, we're talking maybe a, you know, wide receiver 2-3 in a class. And I'm just not super excited to pivot off Lawrence for that.
Yeah, or like a day two running back, or maybe like a non-top 10 quarterback, right? That's
yep.
Seems less than optimal. I don't know. I still have hope for it. Like, I don't think, you know, we weren't there with probably Mac Jones or Zach Wilson at this point last year, right? I didn't even know if, you know, I don't know if some of the receivers are up that high last year. You know what I mean? So I don't know, I still have hope for the class, just because I think it's gotten to a point where it's been talked down so much that it feels like it's just going to be a value. And it's funny because all the good classes of recent years have been like, there's been disappointments like that last year's running back class. Like, it's going to, that second round running back number is going to be below what it historically has been. Right. Cause you're going to get like, they're probably going to go to, you know, we'll see what happens with Dobbins and Akers, but right now they're on a missed track. And so you've got two guys that have hit and three guys that have missed. And that actually puts them below the historic rate. And what we thought was a great class, you know what I mean? So it's interesting that how some of these things go. And if this is going to be just if people are going to take, you know, 80 cents on the dollar for some of these first round picks, it almost is going to be a situation where like, all right, we'll just fade to being back in on it. I don't know. It's interesting because I think this we sit here right now thinking this class is going to suck. And then from January to April, everyone's going to be talking about how, you know, this guy who's destined to be, you know, next year's Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to go to Canton. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, these things fluctuate. And that's the most consistent thing in Dynasty, is that market for those picks ends up fluctuating up. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I think we're going to get, I think part of it's just going to be also the market perception of this class, whether it ends up, I actually think the class in 2 years, in 2022, say we look back at it in 2024, I think it'll probably outperform what the perception was, because I do think a lot of the picks are going to be devalued next year. And that's partly because of the 2023 hype.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there's going to be times, there's going to be spots next year where I'm sitting at the 108, 109, 110. And I actually feel like I'm getting a pretty good deal on the profile that I have to draft, but I don't think that pick on the market is going to be that valuable.
Right.
You know what I mean? The last two classes, if you were sitting at the 106, 107, 108, and last year, if you were looking at, you know, Zach Wilson, ETN, Javonte Williams, or the year before you were looking at Jefferson or Lamb or Akers or Herbert, like those picks carried some market clout. I don't know if that's going to be the case next year. And that's where I'm kind of a little bit worried being stuck in those spots. So I'll probably have to make a pick in more years, or in next year, more so than in past years. That's what I'm kind of worried about with just taking a deal like this.
Yeah. I don't know. The other thing too, is like, I see the first and all I can think about is attaching Deshaun Watson's name to that, right? If it's going to be two firsts, if it's going to be three firsts, like I can fire that and land Deshaun Watson at a discount. Like that. Whenever I see multiple firsts sitting on my team, I'm like penciling Deshaun Watson in. How do I sort of make that happen? Just because the upside of it's so consequential. And I think this whole thing's going to end up being a whole bunch of nothing. And we're going to sit in it. We're going to be in a Tyreek Hill type situation, you know, 2 years from now.
Yep.
We could do a whole series on the Watson Chronicles, but let's do Justin Fields. All right. So Justin Fields, I think where would you say you are on him versus your expectation? And where would you think the market is now versus off season, I guess?
I mean, it's definitely not where it was in the off season. You know, we shot way up with the rookie quarterbacks. I mean, myself included. And that's okay if you have a theory behind that. Unfortunately, we hit kind of a bad time for that because we had so much hype around the dynasty quarterbacks jumping up and startups. And then you combine that with a really, really hyped rookie class that comes in. It's like, it's just the perfect scenario for the quarterbacks to be overdrafted. I mean, if you look at this deal and it's like, well, I mean, truthfully, in a vacuum, how many quarterbacks would you take in 2022 over Justin Fields? Knowing there's probably going to be three or four quarterbacks in the first round of rookie drafts. So I think that's the thing, is like, whenever you're just talking about a random pick, like, it's hard for me to even consider that reset button unless I'm being able to pick my quarterback in next year's class. So I think that's where you draw the line. I think the issue is Fields, Lance, Lawrence, those guys have moved closer to that kind of dynasty veteran tier that we were maybe putting them over in the offseason. So that's how I'd kind of assess the rookies at this point.
Yeah, let me ask you this. So this is what I think is going to be the fascinating question. And as we look forward here to the offseason, the question that I have will be like quarterback, you know, let's say, we'll just say Russell Wilson. So that's quarterback. He's quarterback 9 this offseason. And then you get 10 and 11 is basically Lance and Fields. So throughout the entire offseason in over 250 of the drafts that we tracked, basically Fields was the 11th quarterback off at 304. Where do you think quarterback 11 goes next year? You think it's higher or lower than 304?
That's a good one. I actually think that you'll see it go around the same range or maybe higher, but that's not necessarily because the quarterback position got better. I think it's, we're going to see a serious erosion in running back capital that people put into running backs and startups next year. I mean, I think it's going to be a very select few that are going in the first two rounds of startups. I mean, there's going to be a point where it's like, okay, I'm in round 3 of a startup and Saquon Barkley's there, or I'm in round 3 of a startup and Dalvin Cook's there, or late round 2 and Christian McCaffrey's there. Like, you're going to have people that take them, but you're also going to get into some leagues where, you know, Jordan, 11 people in the draft, they're going to be deathly afraid of drafting a running back unless it's like, you know, Swift, Taylor, Najee Harris. You know what I mean? Once those guys are gone, I don't want to touch one. I don't care if it's McCaffrey, Barkley, Cook, Kamara, Chubb. I'm not Henry. I'm not touching any of those guys in a startup if I'm building a brand new team. So I think that's what's going to be pushed down. And the quarterbacks just by default are going to get pushed up. The receivers are going to get pushed up a little bit. So I think it's probably going to be around the same. It's just not going to be the same mechanism of how we got there.
Interesting. So there was 9. So basically the top 14 guys, 9 of them were quarterbacks. You think that's about the same as well?
I think you'll probably see more receivers jump up there compared to last year, especially because we're starting to see kind of like a, I don't want to say a clear tier at the top of receivers, but I think you're going to end up with probably 4 or 5 guys that are going to be seen as, you know, the Uber alpha studs that are all 23 or under, and right, they're all going to go probably higher than they were last year. I mean, last year you could have started a draft and probably started a startup with taking Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, Stephon Diggs. You know what I mean? You conceivably could have got those 3 guys with your first 3 picks. Now, you might've been screwed at quarterback. You might've had to be essentially punting running back, but you could have put all 3 of those guys on one team. Nah, I don't think next year you're going to be able to do that because they're going to be kind of junked closer together, I think.
For sure. Justin Fields for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Fields, easy.
Justin Fields for Travis Kelce.
That's tough. I mean, I think that probably comes down to – really, that comes down to your quarterback leverage. You know, I have some teams where, unfortunately, I went – really, really heavy with quarterbacks. I had 3 starters already. You know, I'm sitting on maybe a, you know, Russell Wilson, Tannehill, Cousins, or Russell Wilson, Burrow, Cousins. And, you know, I had 2 firsts, and guess what I did? I took Lance and Fields. So I'm not sitting on like 4 or 5 quarterbacks.
Right.
So, I mean, in that type of deal, yeah, I could afford to kind of shed the excess if I'm getting close to that. I'm okay hedging off my market value there. But if it's just, you know, straight up, I mean, I definitely think you're betting on a lot with Fields. But if he does hit, I think it's definitely, you know, look back in a year, that's a big win.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree if he does. I mean, I think you're going to be facing the problem with him is you're swimming upstream, right? Which is you're swimming into a coaching change, probably maybe a front office change as well. Like, you're going to have a whole new set of receivers. Like it's going to need to be Goff 2.0 in terms of like the McVay overhaul of Goff's situation for it to feel good in a year. So if you could pivot off of cost, like, and again, some of the stuff that we've, some of the questions that I like Fields coming in, I probably would have taken him at or above Lawrence. Like if you were, you know, with what I knew, but I think that there's a very reasonable question to ask ourselves is, what do we not know about Justin Fields that didn't show up on tape? It didn't show up on in his numbers when he was coming out that caused him to fall to quarterback 4 in the class. right? I mean, there was a disconnect there that made no sense to me. And so that always gave me a lot of caution. And I wonder if that's some of what we're seeing now. And like, people want to dump on Nagy, but at the same time, like, Nagy knows a lot more about Justin Fields than you or I do. And he thinks he's not ready. Again, that maybe that's a miscalculation, but Fields hasn't proven that wrong yet either. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting split there. All right. So Fields, Dobbins. So some guys we've actually talked about, Chark and Pat Freiermuth, and a 2023 first for Matt Ryan and Christian McCaffrey.
Man, that's a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what's going in the deal there is just being fluffed up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily think it moves the needle a whole lot. I was out. I mean, I'm, and maybe this is just recency bias, but mm-hmm. I mean, I am very, and maybe it's because I play in 60 leagues. It makes it a lot easier for me to make these decisions on the fly without really thinking about it. But I do think that's one of the advantages that I have, is a guy goes down. I mean, specifically like a season ending injury, like Dobbins or Akers or Etienne or Chark or Juju, I'm just out. It's almost like you look historically at these guys that get hurt. So this deal includes two players that essentially, if I'm making this trade in the middle of the season, I'm trading away two players that have not a whole lot of equity, because there's few suitors that probably are interested in these guys right now in week 8. Right. I mean,
right.
There's probably more people interested in Dobbins than Chark, but you know, that they are what they are. There's limited market for them. But I kind of look at it like, hey, I know what the value track looks like on a guy like Dobbins and Chark. And there's going to be a buying window for me to acquire the shares that I want of those players if I want them at a later time, even if I have to pay a little bit more. I'm essentially kind of borrowing against, you know, the debt that has a really high interest rate now. I'm getting rid of that interest rate and not having to pay it. I can free up that roster spot and use the equity somewhere else, and then I'll buy back at a little more of an expensive cost.
When do you think that window would be? You're talking like August next year?
So I think it differs. I mean, I think if you're looking at wide receivers, I mean, I've looked a little bit into the injuries for Juju and Chark. Both those guys are free agents, and I think both of their recoveries are going to move and leak a little bit into free agency. So okay. I severely question the market bump that those two could get, because I don't think either of them will get a Corey Davis, Kenny Golladay type contract. I think it's going to be a 1-year prove it deal somewhere, which isn't necessarily going to lock in their dynasty spike value. You know what I mean? It's going to be like, hey, yeah, they signed somewhere, but it's a 1-year, $10 million deal. They could easily go somewhere else the next year. Right. So it may not be an insulated situation that you get a value bump because they're a free agency. I think the injuries have kind of ruined that. If not, they were both going to hit the market, and both easily you could have seen them signing like a Corey Davis type deal where they're locked in for 3 years, you know?
Right.
Yeah, this one's tough, man. This one is tough because I think if you get CMC back, I think the second side is definitely the I'm going for the prize right now side. And there's not really a ton of aspiring pieces on the other side other than Fields in the 2023 first for me.
Right. So
that's a real tough one. I think I'd honestly take the package, which seems crazy, but I think that's where I'd be right now.
Interesting. Okay. All right. We got 6.5 minutes left. We got three. We got two players we got to hit. Trey Lance for Justin Jefferson straight up.
Ooh. That is tough. I think you're going to have a runway with Trey Lance that even his worst is going to look something like we've seen for Jalen Hurts. So even if he washes out and doesn't ever make it, I think you're going to end up getting a year or two probably similar to what you're getting from Jalen Hurts. So that's hard to pass up. I think I'd probably still lean Lance.
Okay. Lance and a 2022 second for Nick Chubb.
Easily Lance.
Okay. Lance, Bridgewater, and Bateman for Marvin Jones and Justin Herbert.
Ooh. You know what? As much as I love Bateman, I think that this might be one of those windows where if you are at all risk adverse, I could see the going with the Herbert side here and just taking the loss at that wide receiver spot. for this, and hopefully maybe you can buy yourself, you know, 6 to 18 months with Marvin Jones. You know, you've lost the trade equity there between Bateman and Marvin, but I think that might be one of the few chances you can actually pivot up off Lance.
It's like losing a ladder to jump across the Grand Canyon in valuation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like to go from Lance to Herbert, like I almost like I'd give up a lot to do that. And the move at like at wide receiver for a guy that hasn't done anything yet, you know, and I like Bateman, don't get me wrong, but like he's not on a, this isn't, you're not giving up Justin Jefferson to do this deal. You're not giving up
right
Jamar Chase to do this deal. It's not a high cost to pay. So I think it's yep. a, like, I would that I'm not going to drop the toddler. I'm not going to drop the newborn to accept this, but it's high up there on the urgency scale of things that I would do. All right, here we go. Jamar Chase. This one's been a source. I suspect, cause I got a text now we are recording this Wednesday night. I got a message from you like before I woke up today, and it was about Jamar Chase. So I assume that you had listened to the first 2 minutes of the Football Guys podcast at some point before I woke up this morning.
Yes, I
did. at some point between when I went, when we recorded at 9:30 and when I woke up, which is at like 7 a.m., that you had heard the first 2 minutes of the Football Guys show. All right. Jamar Chase for DJ Moore and Kadarius Toney.
So this is the easiest of all the Chase deals that we've laid out. So this one is definitely the Jamar Chase side.
Okay. Here's, all right, let's do this one and then work backwards for a second. Jamar Chase for Justin Jefferson straight up.
I'm going to give you the cop-out answer, and that is you're paying me the tax, whatever one I have. I want the tax on my side.
Right. Yeah, I hate one-for-one deals, but like if I had to rank the, if you had to rank these two, where would you put, what would you do?
Again, it'd be, okay, which one do I own more or less shares of? And that's the one I would pick on the clock. Another tiebreaker is, you know, do I have a stack? Do I have a natural stack built in? Do I have Cousins? Do I have Burrow? I mean, if you had Burrow and you want to trade Jefferson for Chase, I can't argue with it because you're getting, you know, maybe intrinsically 5% more upside per week. You know what I mean? Just with right. the stack. So I think that's literally the tiebreaker.
Right. You use it as a tiebreaker yep. more than any sort of strategic aim.
Yep.
I'm taking it. Okay. All right, Jamar Chase and Javonte Williams for Dalvin Cook and DK Metcalf.
That's a tough one. I'm not a Dalvin Cook fan, but I've also been wrong on Dalvin Cook for 3 years now. So,
yep.
you know, if
it you and me both, brother, you and me both.
If it continues to go down this road, then I'm going to continue to be wrong. So I think probably the market says Javonte and Dalvin are closer for me than what the open market says. I think I would take Chase. Maybe that's just recency bias, but again, what did I talk about before with Russell Wilson? You know, what does DK Metcalf look like without Russell Wilson? There's a chance it's better. If I know they're going to be separated, then I'd much rather take the Chase side if I know that divorce is inevitable.
Yeah. Jamar Chase in a 2022 first for Lamar Jackson.
This is the hardest one for me. But I just made a somewhat similar deal to this the other day where I gave up Mike Williams, Trey Lance plus for Lamar Jackson. And I think Lamar is the league winner in the next year or two. I mean, you've seen all the things you want to see about their with their passing game this year. I mean, he's basically thrown it back into people's faces. He's brought his efficiency that he's had throughout his career, and he's now added volume to that. I'm on Lamar. I think he is a generational quarterback. And yeah. Unlike your partner on Football Guys, I think there is no question Lamar Jackson will be the next mega deal quarterback. I don't think there's any doubt.
See, I'm the one that has the questions, but I think I'm less and less concerned about it. So
you are? Okay.
I'm becoming less and less concerned about it. Yeah.
I think he's a stud. He's one of those guys where if I had to bet, he's going to continue to keep doing what he needs to do to get better. I don't think right. it's going to be, he hits a ceiling and he's done like a lot of right. people predicted.
Right. I think they face a really interesting question about whether or not they're going to extend him. All right. Last one. All right. We got 35 seconds left. So we can actually do two more. Mac Jones and Jamar Chase for Kittle and Rondell Moore. It's two tight end. And it's a little bit juiced in PPR scoring. It's one PPR versus 0.5 PPR.
I'll still take the Chase side here. I know the scarcity is going to be on the two TE side with Kittle. But I actually think Mac Jones is probably the underrated asset in here. You know, if I'm getting a, let's just say I am getting another car, Cousins, I'm in on that.
Got it. Scott, thank you for joining. Until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.